It's more of Lake Effect Now. I'm Mitch Teich. We talked on yesterday's show about the controversy surrounding calls for a new basketball arena in downtown Milwaukee. No matter what happens in the future, the Bucks are certain to open this season on the road. At the end of the month, before returning to the BMO Harris-Bradley Center for their home opener in early November, Howie Magner is our regular sports contributor, and he's here to perhaps reintroduce us to the team on the hardwood over at the Bradley Center. Nice to see you again.
Mitch, it's always good to be here.
The two of us actually not long ago met up at the Art Museum, of all places, which seems like a somewhat unlikely place for us to run into each other.
Well, you wanted to go look at sculptures, and I was interested in the Renoirs and the Monets, and okay, that's really true.
But we both happened to be there when there were a lot of basketball fans there.
Yeah.
The Milwaukee Bucks were unveiling their new floor inspired by their old floor. What is this all about? What difference does the Bucks floor circa 2013 make?
It's been very interesting to kind of watch the Bucks over the past 5 months basically try to reintroduce themselves entirely to the city of Milwaukee and to their fan base in general. And part of the reason for that is that I know you had Doug Russell on talking about the push to build a new arena to replace the Bradley Center. And to do that, I think the Bucks have to really start to generate some more goodwill. And of course, you do that partially by winning games. And so they'll certainly try to do that. But they're also trying to get a little bit creative, I think, in how they reach out to fans in other ways. And I really do think the repainting of the floor is one of those ways they can do it. And they can do it without regards to what type of success they have on that floor. So, you know, there was a really nostalgic feeling to kind of hearkening back to the whole Robert Indiana design Mecca floor. And that really inspired the Bucks to look at, could we riff off of that with the current floor? And so they had kind of a whole redesign process, and they had to get it approved by the league and jump through all these hoops. And they even went out on this like this quest to get Robert Indiana's approval of this. And so it's kind of this whole quest to get back to the past and to maybe reconnect with fans in a way that they haven't done in the past. And I think they did a pretty good job with it, really. I guess the league rules dictate just how out there they can get with court designs, but I thought what they came up with was very sleek, and it harkened enough back to the past while keeping it modern enough that it was pretty neat. This was just one of the things that they've done to try to, you know, I guess I don't want to say get back in fans' good graces, but to really kind of generate some excitement among the fans and people in Milwaukee. Another thing they did was they had this Bucks Fan Fest. They had their players there doing autographs, and you could take pictures with them, and I guess there was a booth where you could be a sportscaster and play games and I presume buy season tickets as well. You may as well sell tickets while you're there. But from what I hear, it was a pretty good success. I guess 5,000 or so people showed up, and which isn't bad for a thing that was kind of put together on short notice.
And for something that wasn't a game.
Exactly. So they're really putting an emphasis on reaching out to fans that either gave up on the team or might not have been fans of the team in the first place. And of course, that's all well and good, but you've still got to put an entertaining product on the floor as well.
Well, and so in the spirit of the Bucks reintroducing themselves in a way to fans, let's introduce our listeners to some of the people that we ought to know about, starting with a guy from Greece who's actually generating a lot of excitement across the Atlantic anyway.
What's his name, Mitch?
Giannis.
I'll help you out. I'll bail you out here because I've been practicing. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 18 years
old. I believe my prescription
old
for that has expired.
That's right. Well, good. Maybe he'll get you another one. Giannis Antetokounmpo was the Bucks' first-round draft pick this season, and he's 18 years old and fresh as the spring rain, let me tell you. He'd never been out of Greece but one time before the Bucks drafted him. And a lot of people think he's going to be kind of a developmental project. He was only playing like the Greece second division, has very little professional experience. But he's got unbelievable athletic potential. He's what they call a point forward in the making, and that's a guy who's 6'9" but can handle the ball like a point guard, and just is able to do a lot of things that other players without those gifts can't do. The thing is, you don't want to put too much on this kid too soon. I don't think he's ready to play a major role on the team just yet. And Giannis is only one of 11 new faces on this team. They've basically completely turned the roster over. There's only four guys left on this year's team who were on last year's 15-man roster. That's John Henson, Larry Sanders, Ersan Ilyasova, and Epe Udo. And everybody else is new. So, again, this kind of goes into reintroducing themselves to the community with this new team. And I think part of the reason was not necessarily that the guys they had on the team last year weren't talented, but the locker room wasn't really a good place. They didn't get along. There was very poor chemistry. There was questions about whether their stars from last year still wanted to be here in Milwaukee. And from all accounts after they left, and the guys we're mainly talking about here are Brandon Jennings and Monte Ellis, they wanted to go. Monte Ellis made a big deal at his new team in Dallas, saying how unhappy he was in Milwaukee. Brandon Jennings was complimentary of how he's finally got players around him and he doesn't have to carry the load and take all those bad shots. Those guys just have not been very nostalgic about their days in Milwaukee.
Hopefully they don't need to come back here and ask for a job at some point.
Well, they might very well, or maybe they wouldn't even do it. But I tell you this, I can't imagine the Bucks would take them back. So, and one of the things the Bucks really put an emphasis on when going out and looking for new players this offseason was character, was chemistry, was guys who were going to get along. They want a team of good guys who are going to really buy into this whole team ideal that Larry Drew, the new Bucks coach, wants to push and thinks is a real ingredient when it comes to success. And so out at Bucks Media Day, basically every guy that stood in front of the mic, every player, every front office personnel man, even Herb Cole, stood up and said how important chemistry was to success on the floor. And the players are the same thing. We're brothers. We'll sacrifice individual goals for the team. It's really been a preseason point of emphasis. And I think one of the guys who's really taken that leadership role to heart is Caron Butler, the Racine native who went off and played, had a very good career in other places, is kind of on the downside of his career now. He's in his 30s, but still has something left to contribute and still has a lot of leadership left to contribute. One of the things he did before the season was he took everybody out to dinner just to get to know them better, just to kind of begin building that team chemistry. So they're really counting on that to be a key ingredient to the team's success this year. Personally, I don't think on paper they're quite as talented as they were last year, but I really believe they're going to have a lot more team chemistry. I think the locker room is going to be a much more inviting place to be if you're a player. It'll be interesting to see how that trade-off balances out when it comes to trying to have a better record from last year.
Let's shift gears quickly. We have a little time left and talk about the Packers and the review of their most recent game, which I think we can just say they won.
Well, that's the positive, right? People, it's been real interesting watching the Packers this season because, everybody thinks that their offense should be one of the best in the league. They went out and really invested heavily in redoing the running game, and they've got three of the best wide receivers in the game. And, of course, they've got one of the best quarterbacks in the game as well. But the offense just hasn't seemed to fire on all cylinders yet. And that was really the case against Detroit. They won the game. But they struggled to score points. They didn't get a touchdown until the third quarter, I believe. For a while, it looked like Mason Crosby was going to be their most valuable player of the game. And Mason Crosby is actually an interesting story because in the preseason, everybody couldn't wait to get rid of this guy. And here he's been one of the most consistent pieces on offense. The Packers just haven't looked like themselves. And whether or not injuries have something to do with it or whether it's the offensive line that hasn't gelled in the wake of those injuries, it just something just doesn't seem like it's clicked quite yet.
The good news, maybe it will click.
That's
still.
Exactly right. You know that they're talented and there's still plenty of time left in this season. And the defense has been a bit of a work in progress as well. They really looked good against Detroit. Some people would say part of the reason they looked good against Detroit is because Detroit didn't have the best receiver in the game in Calvin Johnson. But the Packers defense is going to face some challenges of its own now with the injury to Clay Matthews, who's basically their best player on defense, and he's going to be out for a month with a broken thumb. He just had surgery this past week. So, the game against Detroit was really a must-win game because had they lost that game, they would have fallen three games back in the division, and really their only path to the playoffs after that would have been a wild card berth. In winning it, they even their record at 2-2. They bring Detroit back to the pack a little bit, and they're right back in the division race. So I still think they're the favorite to win the division, but I do think they're going to have to play better to get there. They've just been making some uncharacteristic mistakes. You would think that as the season goes along, that will cease to happen. Mike McCarthy's teams generally have improved as this season goes along, and assuming that trend holds, the Packers should be fine.
Howie, thanks.
Thanks, Mitch. Take care.
Howie Magner writes the Sports Nut column for Milwaukee Magazine's website, and he is senior editor of the magazine and our regular sports contributor. One last break, and then we will remember the late, great Andy Pafko. This is Like Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio.